Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Dan Hollister, President of U.S. Meat Export Federation, talking about the latest beef export numbers in just a moment.
For more than 50 years, Ralgro with Zarinol has been known for heavier weaning weights that deliver greater revenue. How much greater exactly? Years of research prove that calves implanted with Ralgro have an average 23-pound weaning weight advantage over non-implanted calves. At today's feeder calf prices, it's easy to see how those extra pounds can result in a bigger check come sale day. And as far as the idea that non-implanted cattle sell for a premium, this is just not true based on Superior Livestock Auction data in over 3 million calves that consistently shows implanted calves bring the same price per pound as non-implanted calves. The math speaks for itself, and so do the results with Ralgro, the gold standard in calf implants that helps you aim even higher. Higher calf weights, higher returns, higher satisfaction. Learn more at Ralgro.com and look for Ralgro at your veterinarian or animal health supplier. A withdrawal period has not been established for Ralgro in pre-ruminating calves. Do not use in calves to be processed for veal.
Dan Hallstrom, president of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, with us today. Had the chance to get on the long line, talk with him about the July meat export numbers just released at the end of this last week. He says the July numbers definitely looking up compared to May and June.
Yeah, Ron, exactly right. We saw on the beef side especially a significant rebound from May and June. We were 36% higher on a volume basis globally for beef. While we're still down 9% compared to a year ago, tremendous rebound, I think, relatively speaking, versus May and June. So we're happy with that. On the pork side, we were up slightly from June, down just slightly from a year ago, but we're at record levels on pork. So, yeah, I think the beef side in particular saw some significant rebound.
Dan, looking under the hood, what was going on that allowed us to start this rebound compared to May, June?
Well, I think the underlying dynamics are still very positive. We're seeing broad-based growth or demand, let's say a broad-based rebound in demand globally for beef, led by, the big markets, Japan, Korea in particular. And while it's a small market, China as well had a record month in the month of July, 2,350 tons exported, which is small in the whole scheme of things, but considerable improvement from where we've been. And since implementation of the China beef part of the phase one agreement didn't happen until March, kind of makes sense that we're finally seeing the numbers show some growth. But I think back to your original question, I think the overall dynamics are still very positive for rebound and growth.
On that Chinese market, this is really, I guess we're really starting to see some of the fruit of the phase one trade deal come about regarding these phytosanitary standards that we got some work done on.
Exactly right. Yeah. I think aside from the Japan agreement, which I think is the largest for the year so far, China was right there, close second, in my opinion. I mean, we had increased access in terms of all cattle, all ages. Traceability requirement was scaled back, made it a lot more cattle qualified. And of course, the big deal was the MRL establishment for synthetic hormones. So add that all up. Yeah, most definitely we're seeing the fruits of our labor from the implementation in March on the beef side for the phase one trade agreement.
I know we always talking about the two big players on the Pacific Rim, Japan and Korea. Tell us about these two countries, where we really are right now, and where are we going to be with them the rest of this year, you think?
I think with both, but especially with Japan, I mean, the growth prospects are there for the year. I think we're going to see some slow, steady growth for the balance of the year in both markets, but especially Japan. There is one overriding concern that I should mention, and as it relates to these two markets, and that's the labor issue that's out there for the plants. And while we have the slaughter percentages of beef plants back up, at 95% plus, which is a good thing, we're getting a large number of the animals slaughtered. There's still an overriding shortage of sufficient labor at these plants, and what we're seeing is two things that are especially impacting the export side, specifically to Asia. And that's the ability to make some of these value-added trimmed specifications, like the trimmed export spec chuck roll is one example. short plates, trimmed Karubi style short plates, another one. And then there's also quite a bit of demand for export, as you know very well, on the beef variety meat side. And there's, it's not all plants, but there's some plants that just don't have the labor to save all these variety meats. So if we had all the labor we wanted, these numbers would be up even more substantially in not only in Japan and Korea, but other markets as well. But I think over time we'll see improvement here, but I just thought I'd mention that. That is a bit of a stumbling block at the moment. I think these numbers otherwise would be even better.
Dan Hallstrom, president of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, on the good start of the second half of the year on beef exports. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
It's Pollard Farm's 23rd annual female production sale coming up Saturday, September the 19th, 12 noon at the ranch in Waucomas, Oklahoma. They'll be featuring 150 registered Angus lots, about 215 head on offer. For more information, or if you'd like to download the catalog, you can go online to pollardfarms.com. Sale videos are also available on the website, or you can give the ranch a call at 580-758-1464. Pollard Farm's 23rd annual production sale, Saturday, September the 19th in Waucomas.
And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes.